And you guys are?
We are RP Gamer. My RP name Gamer. Is Sam Marcello.
Hi.
Pleasure to meet you.
Scott Walker.
Hi, Scott. Great to meet you.
And I'm Becky Cunningham.
Hi, Becky. Nice to meet you.
And let me give you some stickers for my Super Channel show.
Okay, and hey, this is RP Gamer on the scene at Con Bravo 2013 with Mr. Mark Meir, famous, of course, for his role as the Rage Demon and all the dwarves that weren't Stephen Blum in Dragon Age Origins. And I guess he did this little thing called Mass Effect. He might have been a commander in that. But really, Rage Demon, that's what it's all about.
That's true. That's true. I was also Hybris, the Pride Demon, and Jathan, the male elf prostitute. And all the talking Darkspawn in Awakenings.
See, very versatile fellow.
Yes. And I was also the dwarf prostitute that you end up with if you say surprise me at the bordello.
Oh my.
Which I did.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Someone had naughty to. Options. I mean, how can you not? So, you've been known for a lot of roles. What is your favorite that you've done?
Well, I'd be remiss if I did not say Commander Shepard, because, you know, he did pay a lot of my mortgage. I greatly enjoyed getting to do roles like Blasto and Nifto Cal and the Vorcha, especially. And certainly all the Dragon Age stuff as well, the ones that we ran through. Just recently, I got to sort of return to the Forgotten Realms, because Baldur's Gate 2 was my very first video game voice work ever. And I just worked with Overhaul Games on the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition.
Fantastic.
Yes, and I got to play Rasad in Bashir, who is one of the new NPCs, party NPCs. He's a monk. And also Baloth the Entertainer, which was immensely fun to do. And he was a drow sorcerer who was the main villain of the Black Pits.
Wonderful.
For those of us who are old school, which of the characters did you do in the original Baldur's Gate?
In the original Baldur's Gate, my very first voice work ever that I mentioned was in the final cutscene of Baldur's Gate 2. I was one of the evil Baal clerics. And my line was something along the lines of, "There is no need for concern. The fate of this fool is sealed." Yeah. And so that was some of my original work. And in subsequent games, in Throne of Baal, I got to play Sirik, the god of murder.
Oh, cool.
And I was very excited to get to play him because I'd read novels about him. And, you know, he was an established character within the Forgotten Realms. And so it was a step up from playing Nameless Cleric.
Yes.
I also did, like, a lot of orcs and hobgoblins and things like that in Neverwinter Nights and the subsequent Dungeons & Dragons games.
Kind of impressive, the amount of association you have with BioWare. And then now with the Overhaul re-releasing Baldur's Gate 2. Now, let's just talk about Mass Effect, because it's clearly what everybody wants to talk about. What were your feelings in terms of playing a character who, you know, the player gets to take the role on? I mean, you have to voice it with such neutrality in a lot of ways.
Yes.
How did you approach it?
That was one of the challenges, of course, because there is no definitive Commander Shepard. Everyone's Commander Shepard is just as valid as anyone else's. So Shepard could be anything from a completely selfless noble hero to a borderline psychopath who was utterly ruthless and did anything it took to get the job done. So that was an interesting challenge, is approaching a character like that and finding what is the core of Shepard that doesn't change from game to game. And so both Jennifer and I had that Jennifer Hale, who was female Shepard, had that challenge in front of us. And what we sort of settled on was the military aspect, that Shepard is ultimately a character who is a military officer, used to giving orders under fire. And the other thing was, of course, that when you're playing Paragon Renegade, there are also a fair number of lines that are shared between the Paragon and Renegade options. And so you couldn't put too much pepper on it, as it were. Like you, else it would sound like you were having wild mood swings if you were bouncing back and forth between Paragon and Renegade and neutral options. That was a unique challenge, and we sort of relied on our directors to guide us through that process.
Out of curiosity, who do you actually pair Manship with? Like, Who's your shipping?
Well, in the first games that I played, in Mass Effect 1, my renegade romanced Ashley, and my paragon romanced Liara. And then because I had inside knowledge and I knew that neither of those characters was going to be available as a party NPC or playable party NPC, my renegade switched to Miranda, romancing Miranda, and my paragon ended up with Tali.
Some interesting choices.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, why Miranda? Nobody I know would touch Miranda with a 10-foot pole.
Well, my renegade was sort of, well, he was romancing Ashley to start with, so he had some Cerberus leanings, or at least some anti-alien leanings, although oddly enough, he was actually very good friends with Rex, and backed the Krogan in all things.
Well, you gotta love Rex.
Yes, of course, you do. Headbutts all around. I also knew that, you know, Miranda was going to be a character that that was fairly prominent in Mass Effect 2. So it was mostly me just like, oh, let's try this character and see all the options. You know, if I had enough time, spare time on my hands, I would have gone through all possible variations. I was forced to admit this in the presence of Raphael Sabarish as he sat next to me on a panel at Dragon Con last year. I killed Caden both times in both playthroughs.
It's okay. I've killed Caden the two times I've played too.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've got to experience Raphael's performance, of course, because we have the recordings in the booth with us. But my renegade was romancing Ashley, and so he wasn't going to kill her. And then my paragon was too much of a Boy Scout to kill the lady. So Caden died on both of my playthroughs. I should go back and do one where Caden survives all the way through, and then we romance each other in the three.
Actually, that would be kind of amazing.
What were some of the lessons that you learned from doing Mass Effect 1 that you were able to carry on into the next couple of games?
Well, I did play 1 before we started work on 2, and that was one of the things that I wanted to apply. And I guess the lessons that I took from it, it was ultimately finding that balance between being able to, you know, emote as Commander Shepard, and also not having the sort of wild mood swings that we talked about before. It was basically it wouldn't say specific lessons, but it was more through osmosis, like playing the game, seeing everything put together, and then being able to take those lessons and apply them to 2 and then later to 3.
All right.
Okay, so you're a comedian, and how much does that play into your voiceover work?
Well, I do a lot of improv, and improv comes in very handy when you're doing voice work on video games, because often you're not seeing the script until you're actually in the booth and about to record it. So being able to instantly drop into character, being able to picture the scene as it happens, those are skills that improv gives you, and they came in very handy working on Mass Effect.
Good to hear. And how has the fan response been to you? I mean, I know, you know, some game developers have been less than happy with how fans have responded to recent trends with the ending and everything. But has anyone come up to you and like slapped you in the face and said, "You've ruined everything, 10 years of my life"?
No. I haven't. Certainly, people have been too polite if that's the way they feel. It's been nothing but positive response from the fans. Some people, they say that they might have an issue with the ending, but I don't think Jennifer or I experienced any negative reactions from fans on that basis. Since we bring up the ending, I didn't have a problem with the original ending. Like, I know that there were some issues of, say, clarity or closure that some fans had that I think were very well addressed in the extended cut, and also in the Citadel DLC. Like, Citadel is just amazing. If you're a Mass Effect fan and you haven't played Citadel, you really should, because just the emotional closure that it gives you with all the characters is pretty amazing. And there's lots of like rather excellent in jokes and things like that.
All right, last question from Sam.
How was it to do the party scene in Citadel? That must have been a lot of fun.
The Citadel as a whole was just one of my favorite DLCs to record. Lair of the Shadow Broker had been my favorite up to that point, and it's still excellent. But Citadel is just so packed, as I said, with so many little bits of fan service, ultimately, and also like real emotional closure. Getting to do the evil Shepard clone was also a lot of fun. Now, I've mentioned this before, but when I got into the booth and, you know, found out about the evil clone, I was immediately had this great idea. It was far too late because it had been written for months, but I had this idea you know, what if they reverse the X and Y chromosome on the clones so that male Shepard fights an evil Fem-Shep clone and female Shepard fights an evil Bro-Shep clone? Yeah, so I'm sure someone will cut that together on YouTube eventually.
Either that or someone's going to mod the game for it.
Yeah, they'll mod it.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for ComBravo for doing this. And is there anything of any projects of yours that you want to just pimp right now?
Oh, sure. I have many projects to pimp. In the gaming world, there is Ravensdale, which actually has a Kickstarter campaign right now. It's from a German company called Black Forest Games. They've just started their Kickstarter campaign for it. It's going to be in a fantasy setting, but with steampunk elements. So you'll be fighting orcs and goblins, but they'll be using cannons and sort of steampunk mech suits and things like that. And I'll be playing the captain in that, who sort of gives you your missions. It's going to be a side-scroller. And the design of it looks great. It should be a lot of fun. Beyond gaming, there is Tiny Plastic Men, which is my show on Super Channel. We've just shot the second season, and that should be coming out later this year. It's sort of a sitcom combined with sketch comedy. It's about three guys who work as prototype testers at a toy factory. And you can find the website at tinyplasticmen.ca. There's also The Irrelevant Show, which I do on CBC Radio. That's a national radio show. And we have sketches and episodes up at, it's cbc.ca/irrelevantshow. And we've just been, I believe, renewed for a new season. And so we're going to be recording the new season of that coming up. There's a possibility that we might be recording some in Toronto. I'm not quite sure if that's guaranteed yet, but mostly we'll be in Alberta, and you can look forward to that.
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you.